Well, it's quite a short passage there, but Paul certainly packs a lot in, and it's going to be a joy just to unpick some of this and to explore some of what Paul is saying. And there's a challenge that comes to us from kind of two directions, because first Paul is addressing the issue of commandments and rules and regulations. A lot of the people that filled the early church were from a Jewish background and were very familiar with commandments, with laws, with keeping the law, being what they call Torah observant, which is you do all that the law requires, and that's how you honour God. And here Paul has had a fresh revelation. Now, this is Old Testament teaching, the idea that we love one another as we love ourselves. There's nothing new in that. That's not a radical departure from what Jewish thought had always been, but it's elevated to a point that transforms how we understand all the other rules. Or no one anything except to love one another, for one who loves has fulfilled the law. Now we need to understand, friends, what kind of love Paul is talking about. Because our culture, in my opinion, has devalued love to make it starting with ourselves. And I find it interesting that one of the defining images of our current time is the selfie. It's even being added, isn't it, to the official dictionaries of what a selfie is. You all know what a selfie is? Yeah. For those that don't, it's when you take a picture of yourself on a mobile device, a mobile camera, mainly phones and iPads, things like that, where people, and then they often get posted on all the social media places that you can. So the selfie, this idea of the image of ourself, has become a headline thing. It really has become a big thing. And it reflects, I think, some of our culture's obsession with self, with how I look, with my image, with how others perceive me, with my apparent success or joy or happiness. And whilst that, I think there's a lot to be said for having a self-confidence, and God wants us to enjoy life, it's often getting the cart before the horse. And Paul is addressing that very issue of understanding that the love that he talks about isn't that kind of love. It's the love that we see in God himself. The love that the Father has for the Son, and the Son for the Spirit, and the Spirit for the Father. It's the love that flows from God and is defined by God's nature, not by our nature. It's not a small love. It's a big love. It's an expansive thing. It's an inclusive thing. It doesn't shut people out. It doesn't make those choices about who's in and who's out. It's a love that goes beyond the rules. He quotes the, and again, I find it interesting, he quotes some of the big juicy commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet, and any other commandment. Summed up in this, love your neighbour as yourself. He's saying the rules are not what define us. It's love, but the love that is in Christ that defines us. That's a big picture of how life is meant to be. It's an expansive picture. And one of the problem that many people of faith have is that we do get kind of caught up in the rules. We love rules, it seems. I had a bit of a laugh recently at our circuit leaders, the ministers' lunch. Malcolm, our superintendent, made a comment about the Methodist rule book. Do you know how many pages there are in the Methodist rule book? Well, it runs to two volumes. Thousands it goes into. And, you know, Methodism's not unique in that. Most kind of religious organizations have quite an extensive set of rules. And whilst order is important, I'm not saying, you do need rules, you do need to know how to deal with things, yes. But what we need to understand, friends, is we're not governed by rules. We're governed by a love that it is in Christ. And I think part of our call to be a more missional congregation and our call to fulfill that third aspect of our mission statement about bringing people to Christ is learning to reach out to those who are in some ways beyond the rules. Those who are outside of convention. Those who have maybe messed up and have broken rules and maybe paid a price for that, or living lives that seem to break some of those rules, some of the commandments. Jesus reached out, didn't he, to the lost, to the sinners. He was criticized for spending time with sinners, drunkards, prostitutes, those outside of the rules. I think our call, friends, is to go to those people in those places. Not with the rule book, but with the love for our neighbour. And therefore fulfilling the rule book, fulfilling the law. Paul also says some interesting things here about the day. I mean, he's casting an eye forward to end time things. And we sometimes get a little bit of a narrowing down in contemporary Christian thinking about end time things. We tend to focus on the Lord's return. But Paul, and certainly Jewish Christian thinking at that time, saw it much more as of establishing God's way. When he talks about the day, it's about God fulfilling all that he's promised. And that might look like different things at different times. But one of the things he's calling us to, one of the things that we are called to, friends, is to have that bigger vision, to have that eye to eternity. I think one of the reasons why we can draw in upon ourselves is when life gets smaller, when our future closes down. People tend to pull up the drawbridge. And what Paul is saying to the believers is you need to have a big future. An eternal future. Look to the day. Not just this day. Not just now. But understand that your destiny is eternal. What happens today will always be a mix of good and bad. Each day will always have moments that will make us want to laugh. And moments that may make us want to cry. There will be seasons where the day isn't a good day, where we're mourning, where we're grieving, where we're having to work really, really hard, where maybe we're wrestling with depression, or those that we loved are not well, or suffering an injustice, where money is really tight, where people let you down, where life is just not fair. We will all have those days. And what Paul is saying to us is you'll be in the midst of those days, but look to the day. Understand that those days will pass. And God will take us to a day that will not pass, that will not end, where there'll be no more pain, no more crying, because the former things will have passed away. He will wipe every tear from your eye, the Bible says. And we need to be a people who live with that hope, even in the midst of today. Because we've still got to live today. The Bible isn't advocating we become kind of monks and nuns and shut ourselves away. No, we need to be engaged in the realities of life. Life is to be lived, but it is to be lived with the understanding that it's passing. That we have a greater hope, a greater aspiration. The day will come when freedom will be ours, freedom from pain. I remember reading the Screwtape Letters when I was a teenager. And there's one passage in there where they describe the process of death for a believer. And it's inspired me ever since. And he talks about casting off a heavy woolen coat that's soaked with rain. Imagine wearing something like that. And suddenly there's a lightness and a freedom. And that moment of seeing God and not being surprised, but of saying, oh, it was you all along. You were always there, just beyond my sight, just maybe beyond. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God's hand. Reach out and understand that God was always there. And friends, that's the reality that we live with now. In your bad days, know that God is there. And he's leading to a day when we'll know that. When we'll see that. When our hopes will be fulfilled. But to make this day work, Paul says, be guided by love. The golden rule, love your neighbour as you love yourself. He goes on to talk about putting on Christ. I don't know if any of you have been watching that series of documentaries about the Royal Marine Commandos training. Anybody been watching that? One or two. Well, it's Jill and I taping it because it's just compulsive viewing, it really is. What these young men go through is mind-boggling. And they all have that same aspiration to put on the Green Beret. Now, never been a military man, and I've got to be honest at times, look at what these guys go through and think, nah, I'm not cut out. I would never cut out, even in my prime, cut out to be a Royal Marine Commando. But these guys have something, and the desire they have to put that thing on, because they understand what it represents, what it means. And here Paul is saying, put on Christ. And many of us will understand what it means when we put on a role or a uniform. Some of us will work in uniforms. Some of us will work in education or in healthcare or in a, you know, or boots for that matter. And when we enter into that, there's a role that we're expected to fulfill, we put on. And this is what Paul is saying, that in our everyday lives, we should be putting on Christ, clothed in Christ. And there's a number of things that happen when we enter into that mindset that says, today I'm going to put on Jesus. First of all, our identity is transformed. We become drawn into Christ. And that changes our relationship with one another and with God. Because when God looks at you and I, he sees that we are clothed in Christ. That's why God can accept you unconditionally as a Christian person. Because you're clothed in Christ. He sees the goodness of Jesus when he looks at you. Isn't that good news? Suddenly I'm raised to the status of being in Christ. God does that. It's his free gift to each one of us. Take it. Put that on. Wear that. And don't worry that you think I don't deserve it, because you don't. You can relax. None of us do. You will never earn it. You'll never be good enough. God says it's a gift. That's what grace does. Gives us the things we've not earned and we don't deserve. But God delights to do that, just to give you good things. Why? Because he loves you. But this is one of the wonderful simplicities of the gospel that I find so engaging. That God actually, really loves us and says, I want to give you this. No, you can't pay me. You can't earn it. It's a gift. Put it on. Also, it changes me. Because once I'm in Christ, I need to start living like that. Otherwise, I'm misrepresenting Jesus. That's why Paul says about, you know, let's not be into the things of the darkness. Let's not live. Let's live in verse. He says, let us live honourably, as in the day. Not reveling in drunkenness and debauchery, licentiousness, not quarrelling and jealousy. It's like an episode of EastEnders, isn't it? But many, many people's lives are made up of all those things. Back to the selfie. It staggers me. The modern, I say modern, so it's not modern, it's been always going on. But this idea of going out to get wasted, I think is the word that they use. And there's a rising generation who are going to die before their parents. That's what the medics are saying now. Primarily because of alcohol abuse. They're rotting their livers faster than any generation in history. And it's all this about, you know, about me. Let's get wasted. And there are many, there are tens of thousands of young adults that go out, particularly on the weekends, and they are drunk before they leave the house. They tank up. They'll buy cheap wine and lager, and they'll tank up so that by the time they get to a pub or a club, they're already drunk. And Paul is saying, you know, don't live like that. Don't buy into that deception that this is somehow a good time. We are called to live a different life, friends. We're called to step aside from the selfie generation. To say, actually, my picture should be me dressed, robed, clothed in Christ. That's the picture I want to present to my family and my work colleagues and my friends and the people I bump into at Tesco and wherever you might find yourself, whether at the golf club or maybe down at the pub having a pint or two. Nothing wrong with having a pint or two, by the way. It's the excess that Paul's talking about here. Let's not buy into that culture. It says you've got to do it until you can't do it anymore, until you're falling over. Put on the Lord Jesus. Make no provision for self, for the flesh. Now that can be a bit of a shock. And God says to me, John, your life is mine. And the exchange is, my life is yours. I've accepted that deal. Part of the challenge is then to live that out. There is at times, I feel this, and I'm sure many others do, is at times a disconnect between the moment and the day. There is a time when I genuinely would say to God, are you really there? And, I mean, if you don't have those moments of doubt, count your blessings. But I know many do. I just want to encourage you that if you, like me, share those moments where the pressure of now, the feeling of now, the busyness of now, the hurting of now, makes you question the day. Does that make sense? Are you following me there? I just want to encourage you that that's part of the human condition. If you're in that moment, that's normal, okay? Nothing wrong with you. Don't think, oh, my faith must be terrible. No, it's not. That's what faith is. If you didn't have doubt, why would you need faith? I've often said that. I've always seen it's two sides of the same coin. So don't fret, don't worry. Just keep going. It's those that endure to the end that is saved. So please don't be fretful. Don't think you're failing if in the moment, you struggle to see the day. It's a faith thing. Just come back to God and say, show me again. Show me again. And he will. Show me again. Remind me. Let me see again. Fill me again. Touch me again. Come to me again. Whatever expressions work for you. I'm constantly saying to God, fill me with your spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. It's a constant prayer of mine. Come, Holy Spirit. Because I know, apart from him, I can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. Drawing these thoughts to a close. Love is the best that we can aspire to. I'm convinced love is the best the human soul and spirit is capable of. We need to draw upon that divine love to love our neighbours. And we need to know that we are loved just as we are. You don't need to get any better for God to love you. And if you did, he wouldn't love you anymore. So relax. Accept it. Live in the good of it. My experience is that when we are in those loving relationships, that's what changes us. I'm convinced I'm a better man when I know I'm loved. It just does something to us. So we can hear Paul say, it's not about the rules. Love will fulfill all the rules. Focus on love. Be clothed with Christ.